Page 105, left column in the middle.
105?
105.
Still working the left side, huh?
Yeah, working the left.
All this meters of Gavura.
Gotta go left. Okay. Bezor HaKadosh Alinyan HaBe'eros V'nochecha Hashem Tamid. Talks there in the parsha about the wells, which were dug by Yitzchak Avinu, and he dug three sets of wells. The Zohar writes, V'nochecha Hashem Tamid, which seemingly means that Hashem will bring you menucha, like the word Noah, Tamid, always. Now he doesn't quote the Zohar, but he just goes into his own beer. That we are able to be mesakein with tefillin and tzitzis, this same concept. Says in all things there is an inner domain, literally an inner point. And he says this is called tamid, perpetual, in the sense that it's always there. What we refer to as the inner Jew or the pintaluyid, or there's something within everything which is pure inside on a perpetual basis, and that's called tamid. Bazen ne'emar b'chadesh b'chol yom tamid, ma'aseh bereishis. As we say, Hashem renews every day tamid, perpetually, the works of creation, and now specifically, meaning he renews this realm called Tumid. The Nikra Menucha, and this is also called Menucha, this inner source. Kisham Shoresh HaKol, because it is there that the source of all things come from. Shemimakom Zem is pardon. From this source, everything differentiates and comes into being. Achar kach, kol davar, each thing, kefi koach hispashtus shelo, according to its abilities to spread forth, to disseminate. Ach kefi ma she'adam davuk b'shoresh mekomo hanal, according to the degree that a person is connected and bound to the inner source of his place, kamochein Yochol laharchiv his pashtus zos hanakuda. He says, likewise, one can also expand the dissemination of that which comes from this point. It's a little similar to what we said last week. You know, talking about letting go of the world in order to actually receive a bracha. And here he says that if one contacts or connects with the inner source of his being, then the result of that is that that inner source, this mokor, will extend itself further into our world, into our reality, into our being. V'gam kein zeh emes, and it is true, shekefi ma shemispashete zos hanakuda yoser, niftach mokor hamayim. And he says that it works the other way around as well, that as the blessing, as the hispashtus, expands, that also causes a further opening of the well itself. So he says it works both ways, that you can work at it at the source, and if you connect with the source, that causes the expansion and the dissemination. And as well, the dissemination, as it continues, it causes a further opening of the source. V'alzen emar b'rechovos titein kolach. And it says about this, literally this means it brings forth its voice in the streets. I'm not sure where this quote is from. I don't know. And I want to say that it's from Mishle, but I'm really not sure. And he says to darshan it, what's Rehovos, a street? It means the word expanded, like the word racha, wide. That's right. Shemarchivinosa, that means where you expand it. V'chein inyan ha-be'er, he says, likewise, it works this way with a well. He means an actual well.
Shema. It's a whole new meaning in having a street named after you. Excuse me.
Will you pass me the next one?
Sure. I remember when I was a kid, my parents taking me to Chof Hillel Seiflin in Tel Aviv.
You felt expanded at that moment.
steal the song.
What?
Not stealing, it belongs to him.
He says, likewise,
no, but
I
was handing out my kit lollipops to the kids on the street. My street.
With an actual well, he says, it works this way, that when you draw from it, yosir niftach, yosir makor hamayon, that the actual source of the well expands. The more you use the well, the more it actually causes the well to expand. Are you familiar with that in engineering? How does that
Because the aquifer it's drawing from has to get wider to suck up water. You're drawing from this amount, and
right.
to take water out of it, the aquifer has to expand.
What has to expand?
Aquifer.
What is that?
The underground, underground storage of water.
Oh.
But how can it
expand?
Interesting.
Because it's big to begin with, but it's only drawing this much because that's the demand of the well. But if you start putting more demand on the well, it goes to its limits.
Sort of like the idea if you make a bigger hole, more will
water
fill it.
Water will fill it.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. But it does have limits.
Depending on the limits of the source.
Yeah.
But the source we're talking about
here is
not
source,
limits.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Very nice. So the physical corollary here. V'zehoya avodas ha'avos l'farsem kavod malchuso yisparach. This was the actual avoda of our patriarchs in publicizing, expanding the honor of Hashem's malchus. V'zeh atzmo nitan lonu al yidei ha'mitzvahs. And this is also given to us. So he's saying this, that the more they made God known in the world, which is the concept of dissemination, that affected the source, which is Hashem's Malchus itself. The more they disseminated it, it opened it up further in its source.
Yeah.
And we can do the same, he says, through mitzvahs, that's disseminating Hashem's will into the world. And what that does is it expands and opens up the source of the delivery of Hashem's presence. So we do this through mitzvahs. She'ein davar ba'olam shelo yihiyah bo mitzvah achas. Vayidei ha-mitzvah nimshech la mimakor ha-chiyus shefa kedusha kanal. He says that everything in the world has some mitzvah attached to it. In some way, there's a way to relate to something in the world, everything in the world, through a mitzvah. And when that's done, the source of life for that particular object or realm is opened up in Shemayim. That's a very beautiful idea that, you know, we're relating to reality in a way that opens up Hashem's bracha to the world. And every mitzvah somehow pertains to each facet of the world. U'bazem muvan lashon ha-pasuk v'chol ha-be'eros, etc., that is all the wells asher chafru that the servants of Yitzchak dug up, sidmum plishtim, the plishtim closed them up. Vayomer avimelech lech me'itanu, and then eventually, you know, Yitzchak was successful and Avimelech said to him as well, you know, go away from here. Ki al yidei shenistamu he'oros ha-mispashtim mimayin ha-kedusha l'chein nisracha ku plishtim. Interesting. He says that because the, you know that actually, that word probably should be be'eros, I have imagined. I have a feeling that's a misprint. I think it's to be al yidei shenistamu be'eros.
Be'eros rather than oros?
Yes, I think so, because the word he'oros there is a little out of place. If we had oros, that might be one thing, but we've been talking about be'eros, and he uses the word he'oros, which is unusual.
What does it mean?
It means the light, but it's just an unusual usage in this context. I think it should say be'eros.
Drawing down the
he's been talking
graph.
About life and his pashtus, but he hasn't used the word or here.
Right, yeah.
And to start off with ha'oros, it just sounds to me a little bit like it's out of place.
But instead of stopping up, stomalos, he uses the verb nistaros? Is that him?
No, the word is nistamu.
Nistamu.
Oh, nistamu.
Right.
Oh, okay.
We're on page 105 now. Through the closing up of the wells, which were spreading forth from the source of the Mayan, of Kedusha, therefore the plishtim were distanced. U'kishachazar Yitzchak v'chafar ha-be'eros, nisgale kavod malchus shemayim v'hikiru avimelech, etc. ha-emes. Then, when Yitzchak was able and redig the well, see, he says, B'chofar ha-be'eros, I'm not sure. At that point, the Kavod Malchus Shemayim was revealed, and Avimelech and his people even realized that. So he's saying this, that the closing up of the wells in the presence of the Plishtim, that somehow symbolized that the Hispashtus, the dissemination of Hashem's brachos, was discontinuing. Mm-hmm. And a result of that, the Plishtim felt no specialness about Yitzchak. There was no quality there that attracted them or that they saw was powerful and holy. Hmm. So they said, get out of here. They didn't recognize anything there. Because the closing up of the well gave them nothing to recognize as good. Hmm. And when he redug the wells, then Hashem's, that's symbolic again, spiritually, that he had opened up the source of bracha, and then they recognized in him something special mm-hmm. at that point. And he says that they saw the emes. And what happened, the nichna'u li Yitzchak, then at that point they subjugated themselves to Yitzchak Avinu, alav shalom. So they weren't willing to subjugate themselves without seeing him in a certain light. And when, that doesn't mean he wasn't, it just means that they couldn't see it. But once it became more disseminated, it really penetrated the earth, that even the Plishtim could grasp it, then they willingly submitted to the Kedusha, the power of Yitzchak.
Be nice to have that recognition today.
You know, there's this concept, you know, he mentions it here with Tzitzis and Tefillin, and although he doesn't get more into it in this mimer, but one of the things about Tefillin Shel Rosh is that the nations of the earth shall see that Hashem's name is called upon you and be, you know, and be in awe. The Yiru Mimekra. So this mitzvah of Tefillin is, Tefillin Shel Rosh in particular, is the attachment of the Shem Hashem to the Jewish people in a way which is open, because we don't cover the Shel Rosh. We cover the Shel Yah, but not the Shel Rosh. And that brings about a certain aura of awe and yira onto Bnei Yisrael, which is specifically stated by the Chazal, something that the nations of the world perceive. They grasp that.
Now,
I wonder if he's referring
that
to that with
idea
Tefillin.
Used behind the din. Some people, there seems to be a different in the Haggim regarding whether the talis covers the Tefillin
the Shel Rosh.
The Shel Rosh. Right. And I've heard that used as a rationale for why the people who don't.
Right.
What's I
don't know. I don't know why the Shel Rosh should be fully covered. It's brought from the Arizal that you bring it up to the Shel Rosh and cover it a little bit,
right?
Which is the minhag that I follow. Just to bring it up to the Shel Rosh, but not fully over it. Yeah.
But there are, you know, there are definitely some people who
cover it. Yeah. I don't know the makor for that.
Actually, I know by. I mean, I don't know who and what the occasion is, but the Shulchan Aruch talks about wearing talis and tefillin in a cemetery, and then you should cover the Shel Rosh.
That's a different mitzvah of lo eg l'rush, you know, not to ridicule the those who have passed on.
So, since they don't have the mitzvah. But I haven't learned up the halachas of why people cover on, I mean, have their tzitzis out, but is there something to that too?
Yes, there is something to that as well, and maybe that's his association too, that's considered to be a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that represents his presence on us, that surrounds us, mm-hmm. and the wearing of the mitzvah out, you know, is, you know, showing that presence.
And is it din similar that if you were, that you would cover up your tzitzis if you're in a grave?
Yeah, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch that if your tzitzis are out in a cemetery, you should put them in.
Yeah. Out from your clothing or out revealed to the eyes?
Revealed to the eyes. Mm-hmm. If you have them out, you know, on the side, but you have a jacket covering that, then that would be already covered up. And I think that it's within Dalet Amos of the Kever, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
That's very
they get nearsighted at that point.
That's not their makom anymore. So something about, because outside of Dalet Amos from the Kever, you're also not, you don't become Tameh.
Uh-huh.
So somehow their presence is not there.
I mean, there's my focus that the Mishnah brings about whether if the graves are you know, like if it's Dalaramas from the cemetery or Dalaramas from the
From the actual academy.
But everybody holds within Dalaramas of the cab,
right,
please.
There's a Maestro with the Ragachava who was really known to be probably the greatest Gaon, you know, in the early part of this century in Europe, the Ragachava. And I mean, he was a phenomenal genius and tremendous sadhak. He was just constantly learning, never stopped learning, never, not for an instant. And he had an unusual mind. And people used to come to him and talk to her with him. He lived the same time as Chavetz Chaim. So he was also a very sharp person. So the Maestro is told that he was in a cemetery once and he was speaking Torah. So they asked him how come he was saying Torah in the presence of the Mason, because that's part of that same mitzvah that you're not supposed to be loeg the rush. So he says, what do you mean? That they didn't understand what I was saying when they were alive and they don't understand what I was saying? I guess it has its own application, you know? But there's no difference.
Said somebody asked him about learning on Tisha B'Av.
He learned all the time, and he learned it when he was in Shiva for his wife. He learned in
Ovaris. He said that, you know, I'll be punished for learning Torah on Tisha B'Av, but the reward is so much greater.
Okay. Let's look at a similar, it's not a similar theme, but it's the idea of the Be'eros again, 109, page 109 in the left column, in the middle, where it says, Kvar Kosavti, I have already written, B'shanim HaKodmim, in earlier years, Be'inyan HaBe'eros, Shesasnum Pelishtim, in respect to the wells that the Pelishtim closed up, Kadei sheyiftach Yitzchak Avinu alav hashalom Pesach Chodesh, in order so that Yitzchak could reopen them anew. In other words, Abraham's wells were dug by him, but Yitzchak had to redig them. He was a different Mida. Mm-hmm. He was a different Mida in the world. And he couldn't just say, the wells were opened by my father, now I'll, you know, go ahead and use them. As a matter of fact, Hashem compelled him, and they were filled up by the Pelishtim, and Yitzchak had to redig the wells, this quality of bracha in the world, based on his mita. V'lachein ha'yagam kein hester miyuchai. This is an interesting concept. He says, what this means is that not only did he have to redig them to create a new opening, but the period of time where they were closed up, of concealment, that was also specific. The concealment is specific to each person and each generation, just like the opening. And the redigging is specific to each person each time. Because this power to find the well, to find the source of blessing, by overcoming your own specific concealment, by removing the stone, which is to say the stumbling blocks that lie before us. As it says, one nation will rise over the other, which is referring to Yaakov over Esav. Became kasuv ukamadmonim to chabsena. And it also says from Shlomo HaMelech that you shall seek the Torah like treasures. You shall pursue them like treasures. Nira sheyesh b'chol makom admon. Says it appears from here that there is always a treasure. In every place there's a treasure to be found. Valzen Namar Yogati Umatsasi, and it is said about this, I have toiled, I have worked, and I have found it. The idea is that there is toil because there's something to find. And that toil is based upon the specific kind of concealment that Hashem found fit to place in our way, to draw out our strengths and opening up the well. V'hine kesiv morav tuvucha asher tzafanta lirayacha. Pasuk says, how good, how great is your goodness that you have hidden for those who fear you. De'isa ad Abraham hayatohu vavohu. It's brought down that until the time of Abraham, the world was void and desolate. Uba Abraham avinu hischil ha'or. And with Abraham avinu alav shalom, the period of light began. We discussed that as the 2,000 years of Torah began in the life of Abraham. L'kamosha kasu vayar lokim ki tov. Vayavdel shagunza letzadikim. As it says that Hashem saw in Bereshis, this is back to Bereshis, he saw the light was good, and he separated it, and Rashi brings there that Hashem hid this precious light for tzadikim lo'asid levo. Kainis kayim be'inyan Yitzchak avinu alav shalom b'chinas tzafu. So as well, in the next generation, even though Abraham had experienced the desolate world and he found a way to bring light into it, Hashem had to hide the light again in order for Yitzchak to bring it out according to his abilities. And each time there's a new type of tzafun, there's a new type of concealment. What it follows after that? Ubo achar kach rav tuv, shehu b'chinus Yaakov avinu l'shon. Oh, he actually says a little differently. So what was that followed by? That was followed by the great goodness, which was his son, Yaakov. So it seems to indicate at the end that the redigging of the wells, or that the bringing out again of the Tov, really manifested in the generation of his son Yaakov. But earlier it sounded like he was referring more to Yitzchak himself.
Mm-hmm. Now Yaakov's connection with wells is when he uncovered it, when no one else was uncovered.
Right. When he was meeting Rachel at the back there.
Right. I remember Sfas Emes talked about that as being somehow comparing it to Emes, the uncovering
of truth.
Yeah.
Right. And that the stone was the obstacle blocking people from the MS. Was that what we learned?
Right.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah. You tied into Shabbos too.
And the Nekuda Panemius had to be in there. So. But it's an interesting sort of psychological reality in that one of the great challenges you see historically in the lives of great people has been especially very public people, has been in their being able to be consistent in their own family in that same way. And similarly, the problem...
I identify with that.
and
not with the greatness, but with the public part of it.
Yeah. And then the difficulty of sons, in particular, of great men.
Right.
Sort of a historical theme, a biographical theme.
We see it with Moshe Rabbeinu, where his sons did not become great in their own right, and his transference to Gedula came to Yehoshua, who was his Talmud, not his son.
Were his sons not fathered?
I don't know, exactly what became of them, but they didn't. They certainly did not inherit his leadership and his stature.
People have that kind of knock on the evolution of Chassidus, like scholars do. They say how one of the things that dimmed the evolution of the Hasidic world or movement was sort of the idea of inheritance and so on. I just wondered your thoughts
about
that.
Well, there's always been a lot of conflict about that. Historically, mm-hmm. when a Rebbe has died, where the Rebista, which is to say his Rebbeship, mm-hmm. it was called the Rebista,
right.
where that was going to go.
Right.
And especially, initially, when there weren't necessarily many Yorshim,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it didn't go to a son.
Yeah, no, I know.
Sometimes it went to a great Talmud, or
right.
a son-in-law and a son is fairly similar,
right.
keeps it within the family.
Yeah.
But the idea of having it stay within a family, what the, mm-hmm. the tochen of that is that there's something specific about the koach that the father gave to the son, and he's being,
mm-hmm.
as a Yerusha, he's giving him certain capacities, and that in the position itself, that person will rise to greatness.
Mm-hmm.
But we see that it didn't always work.
Yeah.
It didn't always work.
Right.
But that was the concept, that the Yichus gave him that potential. And it went both ways.
Moshe Wolfish pointed out, showed me a tshuva from the Divrei Chaim that was relevant to me because it was a shaila brought about the right of succession from, I think it was the second Rebbe from Stretton,
mm-hmm.
that there was a machlokas between there was a son and maybe a son-in-law, I don't remember. What I remember is the gist of the tshuva, because there is an idea of the son of a rabbin halachically having the a potential right, if he's worthy,
yes,
to
succeed
to his
son. Position, right.
So he's asking this question if the same thing applies by being a rebbe. So what the Divrei Chaim says, well, what is the idea of a rebbe? A rebbe is not he's not a posek, he's not the rabbi of Pasuk Shaila necessarily.
Right.
He's really is a holy guy that people want to hang out with. And he says, you either have that or you don't. It was sort of the gist of the tshuva. You either have that or you don't. And there's no laws of, inheritance of that marriage.
There's a lot of rabbis, a number of rabbis, who I guess you might say, militated against that succession thing. They, in some cases, their children took on some of it, but in many cases, I was thinking of the line from the Prisiska, rabbis, generally speaking, where are the children of Rav Simcha Bonim or the Kotzker, like that.
Also, Rav Simcha Bonim was a Talmud of the Yid HaKadosh of Prisiska. He wasn't a son, he was a Talmud, right? So it goes both ways. Like in Gary, you see that it really went ben achar ben.
Right.
You have the Rim, and you have the Tzfas Emes, and then you have the Imre Emes, the Beis Yisrael. You have it all the way through. In Chernobyl also, when Chernobyl and Margaret had 8 sons, they all became rabbis. And not one of them went off of that mahalach. Each one became a rabbi in his own right. They were all tzaddikim. And that went for many generations, really ad hazman hazeh. Whereas others, somehow the lineage stopped, and with others even it was broken off by the Holocaust. Like the Alexander of Hasidim, which was a big Hasidus in Europe, was almost entirely decimated, really, by the Holocaust and by the Nazis in Auschwitz. And some others as well were fully nifsuk at that point.
I just found, when I last visited my family, I heard a story of Baruch of Komarna, that when the Second World War broke out, he was the rabbi. I think he was the third successor to the mantle of being the Komarna rabbi. That when the war broke out, he was actually in Belgium, and the Hasidim there, wanted to ferry him to safety. Mm-hmm. And he said, "No, my place was with my Hasidim." He went back, and he was murdered with all his Hasidim.
Right.
He went back to Poland, which had just been invaded.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see if there's a short one we'll take on there. Let's look at the very next one on page 109. It's kind of challenging idea, where it says the Midrash, Beis Yaakov Asher Podo Es Avraham, the house of Yaakov which redeemed Avraham. So the Chilo Hoya Avraham Avinu Lav Shalom Kedai Lihi Natzol B'Zachus Asma. Wasn't Avraham Avinu worthy of being saved by his own merit? Yeah, take care.
Bye, Helen.
Is that
who's that?
That one's still good.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, let's see the throw.
What's the deal here? How do you open that up? Just open it up by hand?
This tape recorder's not out of trouble, you know?
Hope you appreciate it.
Maybe they're one of the disposable things. I figured maybe the other side would be. Okay. So it seems to say from the Midrash that Abraham was saved apparently from the fire, right, from Orkastan, through the Zechus of Yaakov, his grandson. So what do you mean? Avraham Avinu wasn't worthy to be saved in his own merit? Li'tachein lomar ki Avraham Avinu l'vashalom bi'avas habori yisporach. It's possible to say, he says, that Avraham Avinu, through his great love of God, he actually yearned to perish for the sake of God's honor. Al Kiddush Hashem. Similar to the Maisa with Rabbi Akiva, when his Talmidim asked him Ad Khan, and he said, my whole life I've wanted to give my life for God, and now the opportunity has come to me, you know, shouldn't I rejoice, as they were, you know, combing away his flesh. Fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem.
Who was this?
Pardon me, Rabbi Akiva.
Wasn't
Ben
from...
He was combed.
No, he was from... So he said the similar thing. Avraham Avinu was at that stature that he desired to give his life for God. He said it would have given him more pleasure, spiritual pleasure, very lofty pleasure, refined pleasure, to give his life for God even more so than to be saved. He said, this is not really such a chiddush. I'm not saying anything new here. Kasher chachamim hagigidu, as the chachamim have said, yofa shoh achas b'teshuvu ma'asim tov b'olam hazeh mikol chai olam haba. That one moment of teshuvah and ma'asim tovim in this world is greater, more precious than all the life in the world to come. The yofa shoh achas, whereas one moment of olam haba is also greater than one than all of, that this world has to offer. It depends on what angle you're looking at it from. Rak ha-chomer ma'akev. But in general, chomer, the physical human being, separates us from God and from this fully active desire to give our life for Him. Avraham shenemar alav Avraham ohavi. But concerning Avraham, Hashem calls him my beloved one. B'lisafek hayam ishtokek lezeh yoser mikol yamei hayoso alo adam. There's no doubt that Avraham desired most of all to give his actual life for God more than anything he could possibly do on this earth. Rak, however, Kadesha Yavomi Menu Yaakov, but Yaakov Avinu had to come out from him. Because of that, because he knew that the household of Israel was going to be built from him, that was enough to keep him tied here and to say, okay, I'd rather be saved, so that those of the Jewish people could come out for me rather than give my life. V'zeh l'beis Yaakov, asher pada. And that's why it says the house of Yaakov, which redeemed Avraham, meaning the Jewish people. It was through that. It wasn't a matter of Avraham not having enough merit. Of course he had enough merit. But his willingness to want to stay here for the sake of building Am Yisrael, even that was so powerful that it even was stronger than his desire to give over his life to God, which would have been the most important thing to him, except for this building the house of Israel. Neil, you had a question? Okay. Yes,